Today is Mother's Day, and we're going to turn to Galatians 4 and then Genesis 21. So turn there with me to Galatians chapter 4. I heard a very excellent Mother's Day message at 9 o'clock from Pastor Shibeli, and God anointed that message to build up mothers. If you haven't heard it, it's so good. In Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul likens the church to a mother. We have our Heavenly Father. We have Christ, our mediator and high priest. And then we have each other. We are connected. Christ is the head, and he teaches us. The church, in a way, becomes like a mother. And here it is said in chapter 4 and verse 25, "For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia." In your King James, it says Agar, but Hagar is the person, Hagar, who was Abraham's concubine and who had a child. And she, by way of metaphor, represents Mount Sinai, where the law was given. In answers to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. The law has children, but they are children of bondage. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Jerusalem on the earth is over in Israel, and then there is a Jerusalem above that we read about in Revelation chapters 20, 21, 22. A city whose builder is God. And Abraham looked for that city. And this city is the mother of all of us that are born again, born by promise, born by faith. So I have an illustration here of a mother and a child. I want to show you. I think you can see it. This bottle with the narrow neck is illustrating a child. A child has a capacity to receive, and a mother has a capacity to love and care about the child. And she has this content. And she's also, in a way, representative of the church, because the church has been given content. We have been born of the Spirit. We have a new heart. We have a new way of thinking. We have a new purpose. We have spiritual life. So when you put us together, two or three or more, and you put a child there, then the mother has the ability to not pour everything all at once into the child, Because children are delicate. Children are sensitive. Children, sometimes at beginning, you have to carry them because they cannot walk. But the mother says in her heart, I can carry you. And then when the child starts to walk, the mother says, I can be there. And if you fall, I will catch you. And then the child goes to school and must learn mathematics. And the mother may struggle with that. But the mother has something in her heart and in her way of being and in her care and kindness. But the child, the mathematics is not as important in life as other things. And the mother must feel and sense what is important for my child. The mother of us all is the Mother Jerusalem, by way of being the city where we will one day go, and we do not pray to her or relate to her that way. We have our Heavenly Father. But he has on the earth this body of Christ, this ministry. Just like in a home, a mother has the ability on a day to do this. Very little, but it's done in love. And the child's able to take it. We read in Colossians chapter 3 that the husband is to love the wife, and the wife respects the husband. And then it says, husbands, do not be bitter with your wife. And then it says, fathers, do not provoke your children. Think of provoking be something like becoming angry that he doesn't understand me. Being angry he is not obeying me, and that is important. But maybe the obedience is coming. Maybe it takes some time and patience. Maybe the obedience is through some hard lessons. But there's something about the mother of us all is never leaving us, never forsaking us to our own our ways. I want to illustrate that by turning to Genesis chapter 21. Please. Yes. Father, we pray you would bless these words today. We pray that mothers would be encouraged and helped, and teachers, grandparents, pastors, youth leaders, help us. Because some children are forsaken. Some children are left to their own design. As some children, they need this long, patient care. And we know this in our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. And for our country, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hagar has a child and is thrown out of the house. Sarah couldn't take it anymore. Two women in the same house, two sons in the same place. And so she left. Verse 14. Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. I don't know, a bow shot is maybe the width of this parking lot. A bow shot. She didn't want to hear the baby cry. She didn't want to see the baby die. So she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. I had this thought today that some people give up. Some moms give up, like Hagar. I can't do this. I can't do it. She put the child over in the bushes, went away. God heard the cry of the child. Isn't that amazing? God heard the cry of the orphan. God heard the cry of the prodigal. God heard the cry of the child who had no mom, because the mom gave up. I quit. I can't do this. I don't have the patience to get it in there. I don't have, just let him be. Let him go. And you know what happens in a garden? When you let the garden go, good stuff doesn't grow. Weeds grow. What happens when you leave a child to himself, his own way, his own heart, his own mind, his own friends, his own ideas? It's not good. Moms are made so they don't give up. Can a woman forsake her sucking child? Maybe, God said, maybe, but I will never forsake you. Wow. I give up because I lost the coin in the house. I give up because I lost the sheep. I give up because I lost the son. I give up because of the drugs, the disobedience, the rebellion. I give up because of the weeds in the garden. I give up because I can't do it. But the mother of us all, Jerusalem, the body of Christ, the Spirit of God, says, don't let your child make his own decisions. I talked to the mother of an 8-year-old, and she said, I'm going to let my child decide what religion she will be part of. I'm not going to shove it down her throat and make her believe this way or that way. I said, how old is your child? She said, 8 years old. I go, well, do you decide what she will eat for dinner? Do you decide what things she drinks, what food she eats, how many hours she sleeps? Do you decide how she lives when she's 8 years old? Of course you do. Why can't you? Well, first of all, we must be born again, or we will not understand what it is the child needs. That child needs, in the book of Proverbs, instruction. Proverbs 22:15, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. Look at the mom little by little. He does it a little bit at one dinner time. And the dad, if he is present, or the youth leader, or the Sunday school teacher, there it is. On another day, very little. Because it's narrow. This capacity is little. My grandfather took me fishing. The capacity is little. Mom didn't say a word. But she wasn't emotionally upset. She just was patient with me. My mom made an impression on me, we could say. How do we learn this? By being together. We observe it with each other, how patient we can be, how caring we can be, how we can forgive and not live like a person with his own mind and own heart with no investment, with no real impartation. But here's the good news. This is spiritual impartation happens. But Hagar represents the law. And she said, I cannot handle the child. I cannot see him die. I've got to go away, but I don't have anything that I can really give to him. I cannot take him and save him. Yes, you can. Yes, we can. Because what God has given to us is his son. And when he gave his son, we watched him. And he took his 12 disciples and he did this every day a little bit, just by being with him, a drop and a drop. And that's how it got in them. They saw it. They heard it. They were around him. And it's the same way with us when we gather here today. We are saying to God, we are making ourselves available to you as our Father. And if you said, do not forsake the assembly, then we assemble and we are online and so on. But I need my focus and concentration on that which is really beyond me. I need the faith that is the Son of God's faith. I need a love that is a different kind of love. God's love. I want an understanding of this book, and I become hungry for it. And you never know when it happens to a child. You know, years pass, and there's something really in there. He really does love his mom, and he loves his dad. And his grandpa, and he loves his church. That's amazing. And his youth pastor, and time passes, and maybe he does go off on his own, and he may learn a lesson, and he may come back, and he may say, can you tell me something? I remember something you said. I remember. I was 15 years old, and you said something to me, and I've carried that in my heart. How did that happen? It was, you know, God has not left us alone. God is caring for us in this troubled world. That God has things for us every day of our lives. That God heard the cry of the baby. And then he said to Hagar, it says, I've heard the cry of the baby in verse 17. And what ails you, Hagar? What ails you? What's made you sick? What's taken the heart out of you? Why did you lose heart? Why did you want to quit? Guilt? Fear? Anxiety? Personal trouble? Distraction? Broken heart, broken relationship, a troubled divorce once or twice. What ails you, Hagar? Why did you quit? I will make this child a great nation, it says here in verse 17. God has heard the voice of the lad. Arise, lift up the lad. Hold him in your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Get up, cross the, pick up the baby, hold him in your hand, because this child I will make a great nation. And then he says here, and we will finish in a few minutes, God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. I was reading about D.L. Moody. I believe there were 9 children. His dad died before the birth of the twins. And D.L. Moody, living in a farm up in Massachusetts in 1840. He was born, I think, 1837, in poverty. And his wife, his mom, just trusting God and learning to trust God, and the local pastor, and just working on it. And the poverty was so great at times, the boys had to go live with another family because they couldn't be, in the winter it was so cold and they were so hungry. But he grew up this way. And what his mom did and what his mom imparted to him was precious to him. You know, our kids may not need a lot of material things, but they need some of this. We might buy them an iPhone, but maybe what they really need is something like obedience. You must learn obedience, child, my son, my daughter. You must learn to obey and do it happily. You must learn to work. I remember Abraham Lincoln said, "My father taught me to work, but he didn't teach me how to enjoy work." Yes, all of us parents, we do the best we can. And some of us maybe have broken hearts because of what has happened in our family. But I want to say this by way of encouragement. Don't give up. Don't give up. What ails you, Hagar? I've heard the cry of the child's voice, and I'll show you the water, and you will live, not die. I will open your eyes, and you'll see that I am with you. I am in your life. I am in your challenge, and I'll never leave you and never forsake you. And as a church today, we are saying before God, help me to sow those seeds, to love my children as delicate as they are when they are 5 and 7. And when they become 15 years old, and I would like you, Lord, when they're 22, that this would still be our lives. And maybe everything that we have, not all at once, but through our lifetime, we have a ministry to our children and to our families. And sometimes when we're saying, I'm empty, I can't do it, then you know what to do. In your brokenness and in your heart, you say to God, Lord, help me, teach me, give it to me. No matter if we are at the very end, you will uphold us, you will strengthen us, and teach me to be very kind, very patient, like the father that ran out to meet the prodigal son. And teach us as a church to be extremely kind, very gracious and very loving, and investing in people, because our world is hurting. And God has called you and I to be alive now. These are great times. These are times of opportunity. These are times where people need to hear the gospel. These are times when people need to know their sins are forgiven, and that God is their heavenly Father. These are times we have moved our convention to August with hopes that we would be able to assemble and have a very good time together with people from different parts of the world. These are times of missions and to read about it and think about it and care about it. There are also times when young people who have no investment or they go away, it's kind of like there's nothing there. Everything is in mom and dad. everything is in mom and dad, and you just give up on them, and they go off. There's so much trouble and heartache. They needed help. They needed a mom and a dad and a church and a pastor. They needed the Bible. They needed quietness. They needed prayer. They needed obedience. They needed discipline. And again, it's not going to happen in a day. It'll be one drop and a hug and a word of love and a talk at the table and another little one. And 2 years pass and you're investing and there's fruit. God is working. And now they're 22 years old. It's not stopping. Because the nature of God is to love us and care for us, never to forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're here today and you would like, or rather you realize your personal need, your need for Christ in your life, your need for a walk of faith in Him, your need to be forgiven, your need to come to Jesus as you are, then please do it today by faith. Say to Jesus Christ, I need you. Please save me today. Write the date down. Today is the day of your salvation. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Your name is recorded in the book of life. The seed of Christ is born in you. You are a child of God. Walk by faith in Him and come to church and receive and get a Bible and learn and walk by faith in Him. He will answer you. He will take care of you. God is God. God is real. And God loves you. Thank you so much. God bless you. And then for the offering today, would you please give online or at the exit as you go out? Thank you for your attendance, for your concentration, for your hearts, and for the encouragement you give me as you come here on a Sunday like this. May God bless you abundantly. Amen.